We continue on learning the Nishmas David ben Menachem Shem Chaim Yaakov and Pinchas Leo. We are in Bava Kamma, Perek Tes, Mishnah Dalet. Hanosein Semer Latzaba V'hik Dichatu Yora. Here you have someone who gave wool to the dyer. This is what people did. The same way you give, you have the wood, you have the raw material, but you need a carpenter to make the desk for you, to make the chair for you. So here too, you have the wool from your sheep, let's say, but you need it to be dyed a certain color. So you give it to the dyer, to the tzaba. So a person who gives tzemer to the tzaba, he's expecting he's going to pay him for whatever the price is, whatever it costs whatever he's going to charge to color the garment, to color the wool, maybe make it into a garment, whatever it is. The hikti said, what happened was the hikti chatu yora, the yora, which is the pot where they would put it in the dye. They say we know this from Hilchos Shabbos. So they as one of the malachos. What would they do? So they would cook, have a dye in heat, and then put the tzemer, put the wool, the fleece inside, and it would absorb the color, to absorb that dye. And here it's in the pot, but the tzemer nisraf became burnt in the pot. He boiled it up too much. And now the wool is not usable. So no sein lo de meit samro. So the tzaba, the dyer, who obviously was negligent here, has to pay the baal hatzemer, the owner of the wool, de meit samro, the value of the wool. Now that should be obvious to us. That's what he ruined. So the Gemara explains that there's a chiddush here. This is all true if the wool became burnt before it absorbed the dye. That's where he pays the dyer pays the value of the wool. But let's say the wool, what happened was the wool absorbed the dye, and then the wool, which how it had the absorbed dye, which now was colored and worth more, that's when it burnt. And so the halacha is that the uman, in this case, the craftsman, the dyer, has to pay the owner of the wool, not just for the value of the wool, but the value of colored wool, of dyed wool, which is obviously more. And that's why he gave it to him, because he wanted to be dyed, and he's going to pay him for that. And the reason for that is based on the Mishnah, which is the principle that we outlined in the previous Mishnah, which is Ein Uman Koneh B'Shvach Kli. That the Uman, the craftsman, does not acquire the Shevach, the profit of the Kli, if the Kli now improves, it appreciates because of the work that he did on it. It doesn't matter. He doesn't acquire that. He was negligent. He is liable to pay. And not only does he have to pay for the value of the tzemer, of the wool that he took in order to dye, but he has to pay for the value of dyed wool because, assuming that it only got burnt after he had dyed it. So now he increased its value. That value is not something he acquires. It's acquired by the original owner. So let's say, for argument's sake, the tzemer was worth it. He gave it. It was worth $100. And after it's dyed, now it's worth $150. So the tzaba has to pay $150 if it burnt after it absorbed the dye color. If it burnt before it absorbed the dye color, so of course he only has to pay $100, the value of the tzemer itself. Let's say tzva'o ka'ur. Ka'ur is spelled here with an aleph, but we assume it's what word ka'ur means with an ayin, which is something garua, something bad. So what happened was he dyed it, but he used a dye, not necessarily a color that the owner of the tzemer didn't want, but let's say he used a material that really damaged it, colored it, but it damaged it. Instead, he used, let's say, the waste of a dye, and it's really not now the tzemer is ruined. He's not going to wear it this way. He's not going to use it this way. It's not dyed properly. Now, on the other hand, it's not white fleece that he can bring to someone else. So he caused by using this, and he obviously used it intentionally. He had some cheap leftover dye that really wasn't going to work, and he ruined the tzemer. So what does the owner have to pay? What does rather the tzaba, the dyer, have to pay in this case of nes? So if in fact he ruined it completely, then this would be no different than the ratio of the Mishnah. He'd obviously have to pay him for the value of the tzemer. But let's say he's using a dye that it's not great. It certainly doesn't increase the value of the wool the way the owner of the wool expected it to. But nonetheless, it does increase the value a little bit. Dyed wool is better than plain wool. So, and also we have to take into addition the money, the expenditure, the money that's spent on the material of the dye itself. So let's give the following example. Let's say you have a piece of wool, it's worth $100. And the money that has to be spent, the raw material, the dye itself, you want to color it red, let's say, so that's worth $10. And what's it worth after it's dyed properly? It's worth $150. So this is a great deal for the dyer. This is how he makes his money. He buys material worth $10. And now, based on putting in the work, he knows how to dye it properly, he gets paid, he makes $40 on it. $40. He makes, in the end, he's going to pay, the owner of the tzemer is going to pay him $50, because now the whole thing is worth $150. And he, the owner, the dyer, made $40, because all he had to spend was $10. Of course, he put in the labor, but that's what he's being paid for. Okay, so now, using this dye, the psoles, the waste of the dye, which is not, maybe increases it a little bit. As we said, dyed wool may be better than wool that's not dyed. So the Mishnah here says like this: Im hashevach yoser al hayitzia, if the profit that the wool now appreciates is through the dyeing, even though this dye was not a great dye, is more than the money that was spent. So let's say in this case, the money that was spent, we said, is on this dye, let's say it was $10, as long as it wasn't a great dye, but we'll say that anyway, $10. And because it wasn't, didn't take that well, so we're going to say that the wool now is worth $130 instead of $150. So the owner of the tzemer is not that happy, but at least there's something. What's he gonna pay? So the halacha here is that if the increase in value is more than the money spent, it is. The increase in value is $20, is $30. What is this wool now worth now that it's dyed? Not $150, but $130. And how much money was spent to dye it? Only $10 on the material. So that's where we say the shevach, the appreciation, is yeser al hayetzia. Yoser is more than the money, than the expenditure. So if that's the case, so the halacha is no se lo es hayetzia. Because this tzava, the dyer, used this bad stuff, and he should have used a better dye, so the owner has to pay, in this case, the lesser amount. He pays for the yitzia, the expenditure, which is $10, and he does not have to pay. $30. $30 is what it was mishabeh. It increased because it went from 100 to 130. All he has to pay is 10 because that's the money that was spent on the dye. And the im hayitzia yeser al hashavach could be that this dye was so bad that the dye itself was worth $10, but now that it's in the, it didn't take very well into the material. So guess what? The dye is worth $10. You know what this wool is worth after? It was worth 100 when it was white. Now it's 105. But the dye itself was worth 10. So then, what does he pay? He, the owner of the wool, only has to pay 5. So in the end, the owner of the wool, because the tzava, the dyer, was the one who was negligent, didn't do the job properly, he used this bad dye. So because of that negligence, he's going to be paid whatever the lesser amount is. If the expenditure is less, that's what he gets paid for. If the value of the material is now less now that it's dyed, less when it was before, but it's less money than the money that was spent on the material of the dye, meaning this increase in value of the wool from 100 to 105, and the money that was spent on that is $10, so then the owner of the wool only has to pay this dyer $5. That's what it means. So once again, if the expenditure is more money than the shevach, than what it appreciated, 10 versus 5, no sonos shevach, that's all he has to pay, just the shevach, just that $5. Let's say the Mishnah says, litzvoa lo adom utzvao shachor, shachor tzvao adom. Let's say he gave him money, and he gave him the wool, and I want you to color it red. He colors it black. Or if I want it black, he colors it red. Rabbi Meir Omer, no say lo, demate samro. the tzava pays the Baal HaTzemer the value of the wool. Why? Because he's like a gazlan. He's come, we spoke about this. The idea that the tzava now is basically he made a shinui, he changed it, did the completely wrong thing. He acquires it as a gazlan, and therefore he has to pay him for the value of the tzemer. He can't give him back the tzemer the way it is. Of course, if the Baal HaTzemer is interested and says, you know what, I'd rather have the black wool than, even though I asked for red, I'd rather have the black wool than for you to pay me the value of the wool, what it was before. So then he has to pay him. He does pay him the schar based on what he planned on, even though this guy made a mistake, if he would rather have the wool, then he has to pay him for that. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im HaShevach, he disagrees. Rabbi Meir says, you give him the value of the tzemer, you're considered like a gazlan. Of course, you're not completely like a gazlan, because if you were, then we wouldn't say that if the let's say this guy, the owner of the tzemer, really wants the black. So I'd rather have black, even though it was supposed to be red, I'd rather have it black, then you pay for the tzemer. If it were a real case of gazlan, then the gazlan could say, too bad, the halacha is that there's a shinui here, I acquired it, I'm paying you the value of the wool. The fact that he can get the wool of the different color shows he's not completely a gazlan. But anyway, that's Rabbi Meir's opinion. You pay for the tzemer that you ruin because it's like he acquires it as a gazlan, the black wool, you pay for the value of the wool, and that's it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, similar to what we said in the previous halacha. Im ha-shevach, yeser ala yitziyah, no sin lo say yitziyah. No, he doesn't. We don't assume that he acquires that the... the wool... we don't assume that he acquires the wool as the gazlan. No, the owner of the wool has to pay. But rather, it depends, what does he have to pay? If the shevach, what the tzemer now appreciates because it's now colored, it's dyed, is the eser alitzi is more than the expenditure for the dye itself, no sinner alitzi, he gets to pay the less. But probably, by the way, is in most cases. The fact that it's a different color shouldn't mean that it's not going to be increased in value. Vimayitzi yisrael ha-shevach, but if for some reason he used, because it was black, it was bad, or because it was red, it was bad, and it's so bad that the raw material itself of the dye is actually more money than the value of this tzemer after it's dyed that color, then osin lo ha-shevach, he pays the lesser amount, he pays the increase in value, which is less than the value of the raw material of the dye itself. Perek Tes Mishnah Hey speaks about the halach of Gezela discussed in Vayikra Perek Hey Pesukim Chafalef through Chavav, where we speak about someone who steals from his friend, and by the way, it could be not only steals, he owes money. Let's say he's a shomer on an object, and he lies. He owes someone money. He owes someone a debt. He owes someone money because he worked for him, and he denied that he owes that money. Let's take the classic of the gazlan. He said, "No, I deny that I owe that money." And not only he took a shmua, I swear he swore in Basedin, a shmua shekel that he doesn't owe money, and then he admitted to it. So the Torah there says you have to pay not only the keren, the principal of what you stole, you have to add on a chomesh, and you have to bring a karma. That karma is called an asham gezelos. It's in the Mishnah, which we say in Ezum Mekom, which is in the Siddur, asham gezelos. You bring that karma. It's a guilt offering because of this gezela. And the Mishnah is coming to teach us that the gezela was worth, as long as it's worth a pruta, the gazlan to get full kapara, he has to return the money to the nigzal. Even if the nigzal, the one who was stolen from, the victim is very far away. He has to go all the way to find them to fulfill the mitzvah of Heshevis Agzela, because the pasuk says, La'asher hu lo yitinenu biyomash maso. You have to go, as long as it's worth a pruta, less than a pruta is not considered mamon, it's not considered gzela, but if it's more than, if it's a pruta or more, you have to go to him and return it. Says the Mishnah, goes, Eschaveir v'shove pruta v'nishbalo, a person stole a shove pruta worth from his friend and he swore. Or swore a sheker to him, Yoluchenu Acharav Afilu Lamadai. The halacha is, you want to get full kapara, you have to go all the way, even far away, even as far as Madai. And the Rambam explains why. Since he swore, by swearing falsely, then the owner figures he's never getting it back, so that he gives up hope, and he's not going to come and demand it anymore. Therefore, it's your obligation, by swearing falsely and causing the yush of the owner to run after the Baal until you can return it, even if he's away in some far island. It's that your obligation. If you didn't swear, though, even if you denied it, and then you admitted that you owe, then you're not chayav to run after him, says the Ram Hilchos Gezeila Perek Zayin Halacha Tes. It's only based on the Shavua itself. Some say that you still have to at least let him know, I stole from you this, and come and take it from him. You have to at least denounce that. Then Mishnah says, lo yitain, lo livno, v'lo l'shlucho, this gazela, which you have to return the object or value, whatever it is, can't give it to you, to the son of the nigzal, can't give it to the shaliach of the nigzal, because hashalas ha'gzela, returning the zela, has to come to the hand of the nigzal himself. Based on this, the achrayus is on the gazlan. If, though, the nigzal made a shaliach with Edom and said, oh, you, I appoint you as my shaliach, you can accept the gzela object or the money back from the gazlan, and if that's the case, then he can give it back, he can give it that shaliach, because he was appointed by Edom, by the nigzal. Avol nosim l'shaliach beisdin, but what does work? If beisdin made someone a shaliach to deliver the gzela to the nigzal, then the moment the shaliach comes to the hands of the shaliach, then the kapara already goes into effect. Why is this? This is a takana the Chachamim made for gazlanim because of takana sashavim in order to encourage them to return a gazelan. Some say, no, the reason this takana is the gazlan shouldn't have to spend a lot of money. Go to a train ride, a bus ride, you have to fly there maybe, even to Madai, it costs a lot of money to buy a ticket. So that helps encourage the hashavas gazela as well. The mace, yachzir liyoshev, if the nigzal dies, so then you're not free, you have to pay the gazela to the yorshim. And Mishnah is coming to teach us that even the Yarshim have to bring the Gzela to Madai. That's according to some. And some say that the Mishnah is coming to teach us that if the Gazan, let's say, took a Shavua to the Nigzal, and then the Nigzal died, the Gazan is chayav to give the Yarshim the Kerem, the Chomesh, and bring an Ash, the Yasham Gzelos, even though the Shavua was not to the Nigzal's children, the Shavua was to the Nigzal. Nonetheless, he has to return the object and pay Kerem, the Chomesh, and Asham Gzelos, even though it's only the Yarshim who are alive.